Hey y'all, welcome to Hooked on Crime Pod, the podcast where we talk about hooks and crooks. It's Halloween week. Today I actually have a case for you that is a two-parter. So enjoy part one today and part two tomorrow. So let's just jump in, get started. On Halloween night around midnight in 2002, a gal stepped out of a bar where she was attending a Halloween party with her boyfriend, but minutes later, Tina Mayberry stumbled back inside the Douglasville, Georgia bar, bleeding and struggling to breathe as she had been stabbed multiple times and her hands were covered in defensive wounds. Darren Smith ran over to his girlfriend, Tina, and started applying pressure to her wounds. People in the bar started to freak out and called 911. Tina was taken 20 miles away from the bar to the Atlanta Medical Center, but sadly, she died 2 hours later, and she was never able to give a description of her attacker. There's no motive for the attack. She wasn't robbed or anything. She was in a well-lit parking lot, just getting something from her truck on a busy road, and the party in the bar had about 100 or so people in attendance, all of whom were questioned, but it didn't help that people were drunk and people didn't see anything, so no one knew what happened. Tina Mayberry was 38 and had been with Darren Smith for 3 years. They owned a house together and he was going to propose soon. Sadly, no one came forward to help find her killer. No one had any leads, no witnesses. Her boyfriend was fully investigated, you know, as per standard, but he was cleared. So her murder sat cold with no leads until 2004. Jeremy Brian Jones, who was jailed for another murder and rape, randomly confessed to killing Tina Mayberry. He was a drifter from Oklahoma, but in Douglasville, he used the alias John Paul Chapman. But there were no witnesses or physical evidence linking Jeremy to Tina's murder. Charges weren't brought because the only link was Jones had frequented the bar, but that was it. Jeremy Brian Jones is a sadistic killer who confessed to over 20 cases, Tina's being one, but he was only able to be charged for 3 cases. Jones was a Ted Bundy fanboy, and, you know, we just love those serial killer fanboys. Like Bailey Sarian says, get better idols. I firmly agree. He enjoyed killing beautiful girls with long dark hair like his idol before him. Jones had been called the redneck Ted Bundy, even. His backstory is Jones was born in Miami, Oklahoma, in October of 1973. In 1990, Jones's mother went to pick him up from high school, and she found him fighting with another boy. And when she stepped in to, you know, make him stop, her son slugged her in the face, knocking her to the ground. And this was the start of his criminal career, or path, whatever you want to call it. He was charged as a juvenile for assaulting the boy and then his mother. After this, he only got worse and his parents put him in another high school, but he didn't get any better. You know, his teachers said that he had a bad attitude and he was hateful to them. And during this time, he started smoking pot and drinking and got hooked on meth. And he was known as a bad boy ladies man. Later in his life, he bragged that he could, I hate saying this, it's so gross, that he could charm the panties off a nun. Oh, God. That's cringy. That's nasty. Okay, I just, ew. But Jones actually preferred sexual violence instead of willing participants. Being arrested for rape in November of 95 in Miami, and a second rape in January of 06. No, I'm sorry, 96, not 06. This one had a meth charge tacked onto it. And the day after this arrest, a woman came forward telling police Jones held a pistol to her vagina and threatened to kill her. He was arrested for this incident and charged with sexual battery. Despite this, you know, despite Jones's juvie record, the courts gave him a sweet deal, honestly. He was put in a program for delayed sentencing that was designed for young adult offenders. Now think about it. This guy was 21. He should have gone to prison for 3 sexual assaults. He should have gone for 1, honestly. But, you know, he was old enough to know better. but I guess the law decided better than me. He was sent to the Dick Connor Correctional Center in Hominy, Oklahoma for evaluation, but he conned the staff with the sob story about how meth and booze had ruined his life, you know, the things that he had chosen to partake in. Don't make the choice to try it the first time and you don't get hooked. I'm not trying to sound preachy. I'm just saying it really makes me mad when you get these people that are just sick sacks of shit and they blame the booze or the drugs or whatever. And I'll stop ranting. Okay. So, he said he felt horrible about what he had done, and his mama was always in his corner, just assuring everyone that Jones had come from a loving home and that he could have a wonderful future as a changed man after his, after this. And eventually it did come out that Jones's parents, they fought like crazy, and his stepdad was an abusive alcoholic. Lo and behold, come to find out his mama was involved in meth stuff, and it's a long sordid thing with her. But after they got that positive report, he ended up with 5 years probation after pleading no contest to the three sexual assaults. He was ordered to report for DNA testing, but oddly enough, he just kept forgetting to show up. You know, that damn lab test, so squirrely, can't remember to show up for it. So that's weird, but he was supposed to go to mandatory sex offender classes, but he told his mama that he didn't belong and he didn't want to be there with a bunch of perverts, and he was eventually kicked out of there for making a scene and causing a ruckus, and his probation was revoked, but he was already gone. He took out of Oklahoma like a bat out of hell and headed to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where this guy met a lady at a bar who had a son locked up in Missouri, and somehow he talked her into giving him her son's name and social security number, and that's how he became known as John Paul Chapman. He wasn't in Tuscaloosa very long when he found out he had Oklahoma bounty hunters on his tail, so he took off to Mobile, Alabama. He managed to get a job with a guy who even let him stay at his home until he got on his feet, but his drug use and just douchebaggery got him thrown out, and he had to live in a motel for a bit where he met a guy from Douglasville, Georgia, who said, "Hey, if you're ever in town, look me up." So Jeremy calls this guy after a couple months saying, "Oh man, I got robbed. I got nothing. You know, can you give me some money?" And he later showed up at this dude's house unannounced. He stayed in the guy's basement, but he wore out that welcome. And then another friend let him couch surf and got him a welding job in Douglasville. And for the first time, Jeremy needed to use the John Chapman alias for a background check, and by some miracle, he passed. I don't understand how he passed, but anyway, he stayed with that friend and his wife for a while, added to their marital discourse. And on Halloween 02, he helped his friend's son and the son's friends do their makeup as the band Kiss. Now remember, Tina Mayberry from the beginning of this story, she was murdered on Halloween night in Douglasville, in the same place where Jones was on the same night he went out on the town to celebrate Halloween, at a bar that he had hung out at a lot. The evidence had showed Tina had fought for her life, and during his confession, Jones said the woman whooped his ass, but there was no physical evidence that could tie him to her murder, so he couldn't be charged for it. Let's take a ad break real quick and we'll be right back. Hey guys, our spotlight artist for October and November is Tanya Corbet. She is an amigurumi artist that, when I say artist, I actually mean the things she makes look like art. They are fantastic. She has a horror cat collection that is amazing, and she has a pattern for a sandworm that is 4 feet long, and that blows my mind. So I think y'all should check her out. Go to Etsy and search for Tan Flow Con Crochet, which TANFLOWCON Crochet, Ravelry.com/designers/TANYCORBEIL, and Facebook.com/FLOWCON Crochet. Hope you guys have a great day and check out our crochet artist because she's awesome. Hey guys. So we have talked about how picky I am with my hair before. And if you've listened to my ads, you know that Allison Crawford had done my hair for a long time. Well, sadly, Miss Allie moved on. She is no longer cutting hair, but she did put me in touch with someone who made me feel so wonderful. And I still, like, my self-esteem is negative 20 on good days. But when I look in the mirror now, I still am like, ooh, I look pretty cute. And my daughter, Crime Kid, and I both cried when we got our hair done, by her. It's just, she's wonderful. Look for Cara Danielle at The Foilery, which is at 217 West Center Street in Holly Springs, North Carolina. You can go on Instagram at CARA_DANIELE_HAIR. And you can get a hold of her at 919-602-8962. And I 100 out of 10 recommend. So please give her a call today and go get your hair done and you can feel beautiful too. Hey, if you guys are looking for a cute Etsy store to order things from, I highly recommend Designs by SMC Studio. Go to Etsy.com/shop/designs by SMC Studio. And I got the cutest earrings and shipping was fast, fantastically made product, very affordable prices, and Stephanie, who runs the shop, is a wonderful gal. She is a friend, and honestly, like, I hope she does so well and just kicks butt with her side hustle of her Etsy shop. I am super proud of her for going out and doing this. Congrats, Steph. Keep going. And seriously, guys, check out her shop. It's great. Okay, so in early 03, Jones brought a woman home from the bar, and she quickly left. The cops came knocking, and she had told the cops that he had choked her and tried to rape her. Unfortunately, this gal was drunk and willingly went to the house. And because of that, she wasn't believed. And Jones's friend, with, you know, whom he was still living, he vouched for him. But after a few months, Jones would move in with a gal he started dating named Vicky Freeman, and she was head over heels in love with him. Now they moved to Villa Rica, Georgia, and, you know, Vicky was about 15 years older than him, but, you know, like I said, she was completely in love. And 1 month after they moved to Villa Rica, Georgia, Jones was arrested for public exposure and indecency. And he became upset because he became obsessed with an 18-year-old, like, you know, little gal at the apartment that they lived at, the apartment complex. And she had told her parents, like, look, this guy's freaking me out. He makes me super uncomfortable. And Jones started coming over when her parents weren't home. And he would try to open the door when she wouldn't answer. So since he couldn't get her alone, he waited outside of the apartment and exposed himself to her. And after his arrest, the girl's parents found a box with tape, rope, binoculars, and all of that was outside of their daughter's bedroom window. That is not the kind of package I would want to find anywhere. Jeremy Jones was processed through the Douglas County Jail, and his fingerprints were checked with the Georgia State System. Since he was arrested as his alias John Paul Chapman, his prints were brand new to that system. And his license was from Alabama, and he had no issues or warrants in either state. So he made bond, got out, took a plea deal that gave him probation and no jail time. And on January 22nd, 2004, he was arrested in Carroll County for 2 counts of criminal trespass. And once again, his prints didn't show he was really Jeremy Brian Jones, a sex offender from Oklahoma who'd been on the run for years. And in March 04, he and his girlfriend Vicky decided to move to the Arbor Village Trailer Park outside of Douglasville, Georgia. And on March 12th, a 16-year-old girl named Amanda Greenwall went missing from the Arborville Trailer Park. She had been on her way to a payphone and she disappeared. Nobody saw her. There was no trace, no witnesses, nothing. And on April 20th, Amanda's body was found and she had been stabbed. Her neck was snapped and sadly her remains had been scattered by animals and she was so badly decomposed no one knew if she had been raped, but it was assumed. And Amanda, she was a gorgeous gal with long, luxurious, dark hair. And Jones, you know, and all of the other residents in the trailer park were questioned. And he and all of the other residents were seen as suspects. Or, no, I'm sorry, were not seen as suspects. I can't even read my own writing. And, you know, there was no evidence. So the case just sat open. On April 15th, just a few days before Amanda's body was found, Patrice Andres went missing from her beauty salon in Cumming, Georgia. Patrice was 38 and went missing in the 20-minute lunch window she had given herself between 2 hair appointments. So when, you know, her second appointment showed up and Patrice wasn't there and her purse had been dumped out, and all of the cash was gone from her bag and the cash register, the cops were called pretty damn quick. And like Tina and Amanda before her, Patrice was a petite gal with beautiful dark hair. She was well-loved and an active part of her community. And so the search for her was intense and tireless. And her, you know, they really wanted to try and find her. The friend Jeremy had stayed with started getting calls from a worried and stressed out Jeremy Jones saying, you know, he messed up again. And the friend assumed that he was just on a drug binge. But once he eventually learned the truth about his friend John Chapman, he then wondered, you know, if hindsight was 20/20 and Jones might have meant something worse than drugs. Jones was arrested for drug possession and obstruction of justice and spent a week in jail. Once again, his prints were run and once again, his big secret wasn't found. So he decided to hightail it out of Georgia. In September 04, Hurricane Ivan was headed to Mobile, Alabama. And Jones knew hurricanes left not only destruction in their wake, but also good paying construction jobs, especially if you had a valid license in that state and no record in that state. So Jones headed into Mobile once again. And remember his buddy that let him stay with him before he went to Georgia? Well, Jones shows up at the guy's house with no notice yet again and is given a second chance. Now, I'm not naming the names of his friends and whatnot. Just because I don't think that these people need to be reminded that they tried to give a chance to an absolute psychotic idiot. So that's why I'm just being generally vague with their names. Ivan, Hurricane Ivan, didn't hit Mobile, Alabama as hard as it was guesstimated that it was going to, but before it hit, Lisa Marie Nichols had packed up and left with her grown daughters. They left the storm path the best they could, and the 45-year-old beautiful lady with the long, dark, shiny hair and looked so much younger than her age, well, she caught Jeremy Brian Jones's attention. Now, Lisa and her daughter and daughter's fiancés went and stayed in a motel during their storm as it was safer for them and for her. She had a mobile home, and her next door neighbor had Jones using his John Chapman alias and staying there. But, you know, a hotel is going to be more stable than the mobile home during the storm. And thankfully, you know, after the storm hit, Lisa and her family went back to her mobile home the day after, and they checked the damage. And thankfully, there wasn't anything major, but it did look like someone had tried to break in, or did break in. But her home was one of 5,000 in the area without power, and no one could see if anything was missing. So that night, Lisa went home with her daughter, and the next day she got up and she got ready and she went to work from roughly 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. And then she went to check on her daughter, and on her way home, she called her daughter again, and then later in the evening, and somewhere between 7 and 8 p.m., someone in the neighborhood thought that they had heard a small explosion, but figured it could have been a transformer. And Jones was getting out of the shower when the people he was staying with, Lisa's neighbors, came home. So Jones went out after a shower. He was fussing around a bit that night. And the next day, Lisa's daughters tried to get a hold of their mama, and they got no response. And they were worried and scared because their mama always answered when they called. And so the two daughters and the one of them's fiance go to Lisa's trailer, and they see that, you know, even though all of her neighbors had power, Lisa's place was dark and her door was open and it was unlocked. Open, not standing open, but unlocked open. And that was weird because she didn't do that. She didn't leave her place unlocked like that. So with flashlights, the fiance went in and he found his future mother-in-law's body on the bathroom floor. Sadly, Lisa had been shot in the head and set on fire. Her autopsy showed that she had been raped and was killed with 3 shots to her head and then set on fire to try and cover the evidence. Now, neighbors rushed outside to see what happened, and it was noted by his friend that Jeremy just stayed in his spot on the couch watching TV. He didn't really seem fazed that their neighbor Lisa had been so horrifically murdered, which, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but that's pretty fucking weird to me and a huge red flag. Lisa was adored in her small community, and people were more than willing to help police. One tip was a stranger came in right before the hurricane hit, and they couldn't remember the guy's name, but his nickname was Oklahoma. Another neighbor remembered the partial tag number of a car that had been in front of Lisa's place, and frankly, the car shouldn't have been there. However, it was a friend that told police the most crucial evidence: the name, birth date, and social security number of his former friend and employee, John Paul Chapman. And he was so freaked out by the way Jones acted about Lisa's murder, and that, you know, Jones had just showered shortly after the time of Lisa's, you know, suspected death. And that when Jeremy Jones was fussing about outside, one of the things he had messed with was the gas cans. You know, he was more than willing to talk to police. And that is where I'm going to leave you guys at today. We go ahead and come back tomorrow for the next half of this. Hopefully you guys are enjoying Halloween week, and I really appreciate you. Have a good one. See you tomorrow.